Good afternoon. I call the Environment, Natural Resources, Finance, and Policy Committee to order. It is it's March 3rd. First item on the agenda is we have approval of the February 26th minutes. And was wondering, Russell Warwas, have you read the minutes?
I actually have not had the opportunity.
Okay. Wow, okay. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you, sirs. Has anyone had a chance to read the minutes? Oh, Co-Chair Burkle, go ahead.
I have had a chance to read the minutes, and I would move their approval, February 26th minutes.
Vice Co-Chair Burkle moves the minutes from February 26th, 2026. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. Our first item that we have on the agenda today is House File 3426. It is from Representative Jordan. This is the funding provided for the Environmental Natural Resources Trust Fund and the appropriations. We are not going to be voting this bill out. We are going to be doing the presentations on it today, talking about a possible amendment that will not be accepted today, but we will be talking about it. So we'll be having some presentations. And at this point in time, I'd like to turn it over to Representative Jordan. Would you like to move your bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jordan moves House File 3426 before the committee. Representative Jordan, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will be brief. It is a long bill, and it has been a long process, so I want to start by thanking all of the members of the LCCMR, of which several of us are on this committee. So thank you to Representative Heintzman. Thank you, Representative Fisher. And welcome to the committee, Representative Gilman. It's a lot of fun. And you learn things about, this is my first year on the LCCMR, and you learn things about this state that make you even more proud to be a Minnesotan. I feel like Leon Lilly right now because I can't stop saying it's how neat it is. But thank you also to Representative Leon Lilly and Representative Scraba, who do not have the honor of serving on this committee, but do serve on the LCCMR. Minnesotans love the LCCMR. They voted overwhelmingly just recently to reapprove it. And we have had more ability to spread the wealth than ever. This is an investment in all of our communities and an investment in the things that we love. Minnesotans love to play outside. Minnesotans love to have clean water to drink. They love to have land to recreate on, whether it's my favorite, biking or hiking or whatever it is they do, hunting, fishing, bird watching. And so this is really the final thank you and most important thank you is to the public who allocated this LCCMR funding and made it possible for us to make this investment in our state. And with that, I will turn it over to Becca Nash and Mike Campana from the LCCMR to walk through the technicalities of the bill.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Jordan. Director Nash, if you'd like to introduce yourself, and then will you be starting off, or will Assistant Director Campana be starting off?
Mr. Chair and members, I will start us off, and then I will hand it off to Mr. Campana.
Certainly, Director Nash. Go ahead and introduce yourself, who you're with, and begin your presentation, please.
Great. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Becca Nash, the Director of the LCCMR, the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. Happy to be here today with my colleague, Assistant Director Mike Campana, to testify on House File 3426, the LCCMR's annual recommendations for funding. I know many of you are already familiar with the work that we do, but for the others, we'll provide a brief overview of the LCCMR, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, the recommendations that are before you today, as well as the process that LCCMR followed to develop those recommendations. So first off, the LCCMR is a 17-member commission. It's made up of 5 House members, 5 Senate members, 7 citizens, 5 of whom who are appointed by the governor, and then 1 each by the House and the Senate. And the LCCMR makes recommendations to the legislature on funding for special environment projects. Primarily, that funding comes from the state's Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. The LCCMR, importantly, is also responsible for conducting oversight of those projects once approved. Similar to how your committee is supported by nonpartisan staff, the LCCMR is likewise supported by its own nonpartisan staff, including Mr. Campana and me. In addition to the LCCMR, we also support the entire legislature, House, Senate, Majority, and Minority caucuses. So the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund is a permanent fund in the state treasury. It's constitutionally dedicated to support efforts that protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other natural resources. The money in the trust fund comes from 40% of the annual net proceeds from the Minnesota State Lottery, investment earnings, as well as interest. The fund was created through a constitutional amendment by voters in 1988, and it has been voted on several times since then, most recently in November of 2024, when Minnesotans voted to extend that lottery dedication to the trust fund through the year 2050. The fund operates like an endowment, and so 5.5% of the value of the fund is drawn down each year for recommendation by the legislature and recommendation by the LCCMR and appropriation by the legislature. And following that 2024 constitutional amendment, now an additional 1.5% is also drawn down. That money is appropriated from the legislature directly to the Department of Natural Resources to operate a community grants program. That program is completely distinct from the LCCMR. So the projects that the recommendations that Mike and I are going to be talking to you about today are strictly about the 5.5% that LCCMR is responsible for. So how did the LCCMR develop these recommendations? That process is a multi-step competitive process, and it was launched early in 2025 with the release of our annual request for proposal. That request for proposal announced that we had $103,388,000 available for funding. It was the first RFP following the update of our six-year strategic plan, which is statutorily required. And so the RFP also included refreshed funding categories, funding priorities, and also evaluation criteria that the commission uses while evaluating the proposals and selecting the recommendations. In response to that RFP, we received a record 400 proposals. Those came from local, regional, state, federal, tribal organizations, agencies, as well as academic universities, nonprofits, and for-profits alike. In addition to the countless hours that individual members spent reviewing those proposals, the LCCMR as a commission spent 32 hours together over six meetings, hearing presentations, and conducting multiple rounds of evaluations. As a result, they selected 109 proposals to recommend for funding, and those at values representing 68% to 100% of the amount that those proposals had requested. After the recommendations, the research projects underwent external scientific peer review by experts throughout the country to determine that they are scientifically sound and that they can deliver on the intended result. All the project managers for recommended projects developed a detailed work plan that outlines the work and the funds that they would use if the funding is awarded, and those draft work plans are all available to you as legislators for you to review. We post those on our website. The commission came back in December and voted on the recommendations again, this time in bill format. For what you see today, that also included recommended extensions for some prior year appropriations. The LCCMR also passed two separate policy bills. One of those I think we're going to be addressing later in this committee meeting. And that recommendation did receive more than the required number of votes in favor from the LCCMR. So, unless you want to stop for any questions at that point, Mr. Chair, I'd love to hand it over to my colleague, Mike Campana, to go over the details, the contents of the bill.
Thank you, Director Nash. We'll continue with the presentation, then get back for questions. So if we'd like to go ahead, Assistant Director Campana, if you'd like to introduce yourself and then begin your presentation.
All right. Thank you, Chair Fisher. Mike Campana, Assistant Director with the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. Director Nash has given me the fun part of this presentation to walk through the appropriations. So subdivisions 3 through 9 of the bill include the appropriations recommended by the LCCMR, organized according to the LCCMR's funding categories. As Director Nash mentioned, there are 109 appropriations recommending $103,288,000 in funding. For everyone's sake, I'm not going to walk through all 109 appropriations, but I will walk through the bill at a subdivision level and let you review on your own the list of individual project appropriations. These appropriations are also listed in a spreadsheet that should be in your packet, and that may be easier for you to follow. There's also a summary document or packet with tables and pie charts that summarizes the recommendations. So I'm going to begin on page 2 of the bill with subdivision 3, which contains appropriations related to resiliency. These are projects that would help Minnesota's environment, natural resources, and community achieve resilience in the face of climate change, land use changes, and extreme weather events. This subdivision includes 10 appropriations for $10.641 million, and that represents about 10.3% of the recommended funding. Moving on to page 5, subdivision 4, this contains appropriations related to water. These are projects that would help ensure Minnesota's waters are better managed for both water quantity and quality to support aquatic life, drinking water, recreation, and other uses. This subdivision includes 20 appropriations for $17.014 million, and that represents about 16.5% of the recommended funding. Beginning on page 12, subdivision 5 contains appropriations related to education and outdoor recreation. These are projects that would contribute to all Minnesotans, especially young people, having access to and taking advantage of opportunities to connect to the lands and waters of Minnesota, including through culturally relevant and innovative appropriations. This subdivision contains the most appropriations in the bill. There are 40 appropriations for $37.8 million, representing about 30% of the recommended funding level. Beginning on page 26, subdivision 6 contains appropriations related to fish and wildlife. These are projects that would help ensure Minnesota has healthy and diverse aquatic and terrestrial wildlife and plants that sustain and enhance the state's environment, economy, and quality of life. This subdivision includes 19 appropriations for $18.75 million, representing about 18% of the recommended funding. Beginning on page 33, subdivision 7 contains appropriations related to energy. These are all projects that would move Minnesota forward towards achieving reliance on renewable energy in all sectors, including transportation, building, industry, and agriculture. This subdivision contains 2 appropriations for $773,000, representing about 1% of the recommended funding. On page 34, subdivision 8 begins and contains appropriations related to land. These are projects that would help ensure Minnesota's public and private lands, including forests, grasslands, wetlands, and agricultural lands, provide long-term benefits to fish, wildlife, and people. This subdivision includes 17 appropriations for $17.964 million, representing about 17% of the recommended funding. The final subdivision containing appropriations is subdivision 9, beginning on page 40, which includes 1 appropriation for $340,000. This appropriation is for fiscal management and processing reimbursements for funded projects going to non-state entities. We do this work with help from the Department of Natural Resources Grant Unit. So that is all of the appropriations in the bill. There are a number of additional subdivisions, which I'll quickly go through as well before handing this back to Director Nash. So subdivisions 10 through 15 on pages 40 through 48 contain funding conditions that typically get included every year and must be followed by all funded projects as applicable to that project. Just very quickly, these conditions relate to the availability of appropriations, including the default time frame that appropriations will be available for project work and payment conditions, the availability of data generated by funding projects, conditions related to submittal and approval of work plans, required reporting, and budget amendments, conditions related to background checks for projects involving children, conditions related to acknowledgement of the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, conditions related to purchasing recycled and recyclable materials, conditions related to accessibility requirements for facilities, and then conditions related to projects that include land acquisitions, restorations, or conservation easements. So with that, Chair Fisher, I was going to hand it back to Director Nash to talk about the final subdivision in the bill.
Certainly. Director Nash.
Mr. Chair, members, so ending with subdivision 16, starting on page 48, this includes funding carryforwards, or what we call legislative extensions. These are previously funded projects that for one reason or another need a little bit more time to complete their outcomes. no new money is being appropriated. And I would say that we are very careful about those projects that are recommended for extension. It's kind of an option of last resort. We work with project managers to pursue all other options and ensure that the ones that are selected for extension have a high likelihood of success if extended. And I'm happy to answer any questions about those. Otherwise, that concludes our walkthrough, Mr. Chair, and we're happy to stand for questions.
Okay, thank you, Director Nash. What we're going to do is we're going to finish taking testimony, and then we'll come back to opening up for questions. So if you want to hang real close by in the chairs there, that'd be great. And with that, I have Mr. Mike Harley. Good afternoon, Mr. Harley. Welcome to the committee. I see you've also got somebody with you, which is fine. If you'd like to go ahead and first introduce yourself and begin your testimony, and then we can go to the person that is assisting you.
I'm Mike Harley, Executive Director of Environmental Initiative.
And I'm James Trice. I'm founder and CEO of the Public Policy Project.
Okay. Thank you, Co-Chair Fisher and Co-Chair Heinzman and members of the committee for having us here today. I'm here today on behalf of the many organizations and community members who you see represented on the letter that we've submitted. We support responding to the needs of communities across the state for the full funding of the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund Community Grant Program. I'm pleased to be here to support Representative Jordan's amendment to ensure that fiscal year 27 appropriation for the Community Grant Program advances to respond to those needs and that strong demand around the state. The LCSMR package that you've just heard about includes $103 million for 109 proposals, and you know, have also heard that there were many more proposals than that that could not be funded, $359 million in requests for 400 proposals. While the community grants program is in the early stages of being rolled out to the public from DNR, we know that there's an appetite around the state because we've seen it and heard it firsthand as we've been talking to people in community.
Mr. Thrice, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. Chair Heitzman, Chair and Fisher. Our organizations stand ready to help promote the program, connect communities, and to opportunities to ensure it achieves the meaningful statewide impact it was designed to deliver. We are grateful for the collaboration between House and Senate leadership last session to refine the program and to secure its first appropriations, helping to ensure that the benefits reach communities across Minnesota. We also appreciate the foresight of this committee, the committee's chairs, the Minnesota House Ways Committee, and Senate counterparts in aligning the LCCMR and community grants appropriations this session to support coordinated and effective approach. We beseech you to include this amendment to the final bill. And we want to thank you again for your privilege of your time, your partnership, and your continued commitment to Minnesota's environment and our communities.
Thank you so much for your testimonies, gentlemen. Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to testify on the bill today? Not hearing any, what we will do then is move to, are there any questions from any members? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have a question for Ms. Nash.
Director Nash, welcome back. Representative Hansen, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Nash, maybe just kind of highlighting the reimbursement process so that you know, with all the concern about fraud, LCCMR has been, I believe, ahead of the game for many years on this. And could you maybe just describe what happens with public money in terms of LCCMR with reimbursement and how it's distributed?
Director Nash.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for that question. And certainly, waste, fraud, and abuse is on our minds. We take it very seriously as staff. I know it's something that has been on people's minds a lot lately. So I think we have several steps and procedures in place that we follow in order to avoid and detect especially fraud. I think that's the biggest concern here. We conduct oversight, both programmatic and fiscal oversight, for all projects that are funded through the trust fund. And what exactly that looks like depends on how you are receiving the funds, which means it depends on what kind of organization you are. So I know your question is about reimbursement, and I'll address that, but I just want to also acknowledge that these funds go to state agencies. They also go to what we call quasi-state agencies. State agencies, I think you're familiar with the quasi-state agencies, would be places like Science Museum of Minnesota, Minnesota Zoo, University of Minnesota, and others. All those folks receive their appropriations, their funds, directly as an appropriation to the agency. And so that process looks a little different. The funds that are going to non-state entities, that money is considered a legislatively directive grant, and that grant is administered through the DNR Grants Unit. And we have an agreement with the DNR Grants Unit to conduct fiscal oversight, and we do that in collaboration, together in partnership. And we, that's what the funding in the bill is for, is to pay for their work. So all of the projects that receive funding receive programmatic oversight through the LCCMR. All projects are expected to write a detailed work plan that provides descriptions of the activities they're conducting, the milestones, the updates, or the outputs, and the outcomes, along with estimated completion dates and very detailed budgets. That becomes the basis, then, of their reporting throughout the grant period. So all grants are responsible providing those six-month updates, and LCCMR staff is reviewing those updates to make sure that they are consistent with what their work plan was approved to do. We check in on how you're coming along on your individual milestones. We look at their funding to make sure that it's consistent with what was approved. Things do change during the life of a project, so that we do have an amendment process where they can change their scope and budget to an extent, and LCCMR has to approve that. Those have to be approved before those changes can be implemented. When it comes to the reimbursement process, the DNR helps us with that. We do a bunch of pre-checks and financial capacity checks and risk assessments before we enter into the grant agreement. But as far as the reimbursement goes, funds are expended by the non-state entities. They submit documentation to the DNR, which can include receipts, time cards. It can include copies of contracts, because what DNR is ensuring is that those, if any contracts were done, they were followed state bidding procedures, prevailing wage issues, and that is all verified before funds are paid out. Also, funds are not paid out until DNR confirms with LCCMR that those progress reports have been submitted, that they are up to date, and that they've been approved by us. So that is a bit of a check and balance on those reimbursements. So if somebody submits a request for reimbursement for something that has not been approved in the budget, those funds will not be reimbursed. So I think this is a good system for, you know, keeping the risk outside of the public money, and we are not paying out those public funds if we have questions about the expenditures. We also have procedures in place, and I can talk more about that if you want me to, for sort of identifying risks and what we do in those cases.
Thank you, Director Nash. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for the testifier on the community grant program. When we passed the statutory language, we did, I asked Representative Hollins if the requirements had to meet the constitutional language of the Environmental Trust Fund, that which was put in front of the voters. I don't know, maybe this is Representative Jordan should answer this one on the amendment. So with the amendment, the appropriation, they would have to comply with the constitutional language, and would the grants have to go through the grants management process set up in statute? That's a question.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Representative Fisher. I would actually ask nonpartisan staff to answer that question.
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, it would have to meet the constitutional requirements. It's an appropriation from the trust fund, so it would have to meet the trust fund constitutional requirements.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the grants management process?
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, it would go through the DNR's grants management, and they'd be subject to state grants management policies.
Okay. Next, Representative Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you to the testifiers today. You know, I think you discussed, you know, per Chair Representative Hansen's question, a lot of checks and balances that are put into place to make sure that these public dollars are going to the public good. But I guess I'll just, you know, kind of bluntly ask it, you know, has LCCMR ever, you know, had any documented cases of fraud within your programs that you oversee? And if so, what actions have been taken to, you know, address that and maybe ameliorate that problem?
Director Nash.
Mr. Chair and members, it's a great question. I am not aware of any instance of fraud that has been, that we've discovered any instance of fraud. And I feel pretty comfortable that fraud, we have good systems in check to deter, you know, to detect and prevent fraud. That being said, it doesn't mean that we don't have concerns, and that in those cases, when we do identify situations where we have some questions, we do have a process internally where we might put a project on heightened oversight. So we do kind of keep a list. We make sure that an experienced grant analyst is responsible for tracking that. We would meet with the project manager, phone calls, emails, meetings. We would elevate it within their organization. We would elevate it within our organization. I would get involved. Depending on the scope and scale of the issue, I would also alert and work with my chairs, my three co-chairs. We have had instances where people have been out of compliance, and we have had concerns. And so in those instances, you know, if we don't approve the status update, the work plan update, then that essentially freezes their funding. And we do that until we are comfortable that any of the questions that we have or issues we've identified have been resolved. So it's a little different when it comes to the state agencies, that they are seeking their reimbursement through a different process, but we have some tools there as well.
Okay. Representative Godfrey. Okay. Co-Chair Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm really glad that the questions today, and this will be for both sides of the table, are focused in on ensuring that ENRTF funds are appropriately dispersed and that we're mindful of opportunities for fraudsters to take advantage potentially of these dollars. I think at every level of state government, there's a heightened sensitivity to this, and there has to be. And I do have one quick question, Mr. Chair, for Director Nash. And it's not a question that I'm myself uninformed on. It's one that I think would be important for the public to sort of be tracking, and that would be, Director Nash, the new community grants program that we're going to be rolling out in the coming months. Does the LCCMR have oversight over those appropriations or those grants in any way?
Director Nash.
Mr. Chair, members, no.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just, for the benefit of the public, point out that Chair Fisher and I are working to ensure, I think this is fair to say, and if I misstate this, Mr. Chair, you can certainly restate it, that I think shared expectation for the proper disbursement of dollars, whether it be at the LCCMR or this new community grants program, is appropriately watched and, in the case of this new program, rolled out. And I'll just give you a quick preview. This next Thursday, our hearing will include some discussion of this new program, and there'll be presentation from DNR explaining how they've developed under the statutory and constitutional guidance their plan. And I think that that'll be a good opportunity for us to work together to ensure that the same integrity that I think we all agree has been maintained at the LCCMR is carried forward into this new program. The public expects us to get this right, and I do believe that in the spirit of collaboration and ensuring that the public's expectations are met, that we can do that together. There has been lots of opportunities over the years to tighten up language and to make sure that we can get at those kinds of things early, and I hope we take advantage of that opportunity if there is any kind of identified concern that comes out of next week's hearing, or excuse me, next Thursday's hearing. So I'll just leave that there, and if Director Nash has anything more to offer, I'd certainly extend that opportunity, although I think that we've kind of covered that for the most part.
Director Nash.
Mr. Chair, members, I do just want to add a couple of other points. First of all, I failed to mention that if there are any concerns about fraud, waste, abuse, we would also report those to the Office of Legislative Auditor and then the new BCA Criminal Apprehension, Financial Crimes, and Fraud section, and that any of the grantees or fund recipients that we're involved with can also bring concerns both to LCCMR staff as well as directly to either of those entities. So I just want to acknowledge that we understand that link and responsibility to provide and report to those folks. I also just want to say that I think we do have a pretty good system, as I've said, but it is not perfect, and there are still areas that we need to work on. I'm sure there are things that we don't know but we do know that there are gaps that still need to be filled. And so I do want to say that we as staff do the best that we can with the resources that we have. Representative Heintzman, Representative Hansen know that we have had some challenges over the last several years with staff capacity. So I was at one point kind of waving my hands and putting up a red flag saying, we can't do what's required here. So thankfully, both of those members did help us get additional staff, and we have our heads above water right now. We can breathe, but we do have a lot more work to do. So I just want to acknowledge that and then just say that I think, especially since this is a constitutionally dedicated source of funds, we take this very seriously, and we really want to make sure that the public knows that we are watching and really watching over to make sure that these funds are being used for the intended purposes. So
thank you, Director Nash, and I appreciate the work that your organization LCCMR is doing on keeping a good accounting of it. If you could give us a little idea how it's grown over time from where we used to be to where we are now, which can kind of show what the potential need might be down the road. Director Nash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, so I started in late 2017. We had four staff at that time. Since then, the amount of funds that has become available has more than doubled, and the number of projects that we are overseeing has increased by fivefold. This was all at a time when there was COVID, rolling legislative sessions, a lot of sort of external crises that we were managing. So it was a steep increase at a time when there was a lot going on. And so we have now just thankfully the members, I think it was maybe before your time, but we got approved for several staff. So we now are up to 10 staff. But since that approval was awarded by the commission, the funds have increased yet another 10%. And like I said, the number of proposals that came in to the commission was double the year before. So we will need to continue to, you know, monitor the workload that's required and make sure that we are increasing staff accordingly. So I think if this is what you're asking for, we are anticipating that we'll be asking for additional staff in the next budget round.
Thank you, Director Nash. And that's why I was trying to get an idea as I had the pleasure of being able to serve this past year and hearing how much it's gone up, which is great. We have more dollars available. There are more projects that we're able to fund. We're going to see that growth continue. And so we want to make sure that your office has what it needs to make sure that we're being prudent stewards of our dollars out there. And we thank you for your commitment to that. What I'd like to do is just want to highlight is that we do have the A4 amendment out there just for discussion. This is for the community grants. This would put the authorization for $28,180,000 from the trust fund to the Commissioner of Natural Resources. We are not going to put it on today. This is something that we will be putting on the final bill when we do move it out. The hope is that we're going to be looking at dealing with the LCCMR bill again a week from today. We are making sure that we're doing due diligence. I do appreciate Co-Chairs Heinzman's input and feedback to make sure that we've got the right guardrails in place. But was wondering if there's any other discussions on the community grants amendment out there. We're not going to approve it today, but I just want to make sure there's the opportunity for discussion if anybody had anything to say. Not hearing anything, I would like then to go to Representative Jordan for any closing comments.
Yes, thank you, Chair Fisher, Chair Heinzman, and members for this discussion. And again, thank you to all the members for your service on this committee. To just, you know, I know we're not supposed to use props, but this was one of three binders that we narrowed it down to, and there are projects in all of our districts and something for all of us to enjoy. I do appreciate how the money comes about. I mean, this is dollars that Minnesotans spend and voted for to allocate. So, you know, these are public dollars for our public lands. Can't take a call right now. And, you know, this is free recreation that we have. This is the best bang for your buck. This is a lot cheaper than Disney World. And it's our money for our water and fish and everything else that I think really defines us as Minnesotans. So come talk to me if you want to talk about any individual projects. There's a lot of really fun ones in there. And I look forward to continuing the discussion about LCCMR. So thanks for your time today. And with that, I don't know if you weigh over my bill or if you want me to.
Representative Jordan renews her motion that House File 3426 be laid over. The bill is laid over. With that, we will move on to House File 3428. Representative Jordan, would you like to move your bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jordan moves that House File 3428 be placed on the general register. Representative Jordan, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a technical bill or a cleanup bill that deletes some obsolete language related to the DNR and land acquisitions within LCCMR. And I'm going to, as soon as he's available, going to let Assistant Commissioner Meyer explain the technicalities of it. It is a bill that was approved by the LCCMR to be recommended for the legislature. It's mostly technical in nature, but I will turn it over to Commissioner Meyer.
Very good. Assistant Commissioner Meyer, welcome to the committee. If you'd like to introduce yourself, who you're with, and begin your presentation, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. For the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, and I do want to thank Representative Jordan for introducing this bill for us. It is an issue that we discussed with the LCCMR previously this past interim, and it's language that has served its time, so we're looking to clean up some of these statutes that are there. Really, you can see that the meat of it is on the back, the repealing language that we're repealing. But this language was recommended to the LCCMR, and I actually worked with the LCCMR back in 2010 on this issue, and then modified it in 2013. Really, at the time, there were some acquisitions that were going through LCCMR that some people questioned whether they should be state assets or not. and they wanted to put this in place, kind of a guardrail, if you will call it that. Since these assets become state property, we do have to pay that, pay pilt on them, take care of them, and in other entities as well, making sure we're investing these dollars in the best way possible. Since then, we have instilled a lot of different practices, our strategic land asset management protocol and process that we work with all of our partners on and implement ourselves working with the counties, really has fulfilled these needs that are out there, making sure that our partners in conservation and outdoor recreation parks, so forth, well, that they understand and they recognize the need for a cohesive network, state, county, federal, perhaps, local lands. And really, we do that, and we all communicate early on in the process, not only for LCCMR, but also for the Outdoor Heritage Fund programs as well. So we are coordinating with our partners, understanding what the needs are out there. They're understanding what our needs are, how it all fits together. And really, that works really great. I think the projects that we see in this bill this year, there's about a handful of them that are land acquisitions that would require approval. That are really great projects. So they are vetted now beforehand, before they come in. And it's language that is duplicative, and we had a great discussion in the commission, and we would encourage your support for it.
Thank you, Assistant Commissioner Beyer. Any questions? I am not seeing any questions. Is there anyone else from the audience that would like to testify on the bill? Not seeing anybody, not hearing any questions. Is there, Representative Chardon, any closing comments?
Thanks for your support, members, and I renew my motion.
Representative Chardon renews her motion that House File 3428 be placed on the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. House File 3428 is moved for the General Register. With that, that is our final business today. We are done a little bit early, so I'll let you go out and enjoy the rest of the day. And with that, we are adjourned.